You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our free mobile app. There's a digital Bible on there, an online community. All of our teachings are on there. So it's a great resource to have in your pocket. And if you are listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on those notifications, leave a 5-star review, tell somebody about it. We don't want you to miss a thing, and we want more people to keep plugging in to our study. And it is our study. We are nearing the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been in here for a while. And like I say all the time, we've taken our time, and I'm glad that we have, because the Gospel of Matthew is powerful. Jesus is unveiling the kingdom of God, and we're now at a point in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26 today. And we're at a point where we are really in the final days of Jesus's earthly ministry, right? It's Passover week. There's five times the amount of people that are normally around in the city. Tensions are rising between him and the religious leaders. And we just saw in the beginning of Matthew 26 the other day that the religious leaders are plotting. While people are plotting against Jesus, he is preparing his disciples. And that's really how this chapter started off, right? Is Jesus reminding them, after just telling them about what it was going to be like at the end of the age and the coming and everything that's going on and what to look out for and the glory that's going to come, and how he goes into Matthew 25 that, you know, those who are faithful to him, and faithful to him, not just directly to him, but by helping others, that there was real reward and glory in that. And of course, in following Jesus, there's eternal life. So we can imagine that the disciples are really at a point where they're like, yes. And they probably didn't even think about what was about to happen. And Jesus kind of brings them down to earth. Says, remember, I'm going to have to be arrested and crucified. And you have to wonder if they really were able to wrap their mind around this. But the chapter continues, and we now find Jesus and the disciples in Bethany at a house of a man called Simon the leper. Let's just get right into it today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 6. Get my slide up here. There we go. Matthew 26, starting with verse 6, and I think we're going to go through 13 today. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. Let's first acknowledge the house that he's in, okay? He's in the house of somebody named Simon the leper. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Simon the leper, but we can gather from his nickname there that he either had, most likely not, but once had leprosy. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, leprosy is not something that goes away like the common cold. It's not like a hangnail, okay? If you had leprosy, you died of leprosy, but not when you're around Jesus. Jesus, unlike the religious leaders, would approach those with leprosy, would love on them, care for them, and heal them. So we could deduce from the situation that most likely this Simon the leper was someone that Jesus healed of leprosy. Now notice, he's still called Simon the leper, and there's a message in this, right? A lot of times we can have our sins and our shortcomings and even our sicknesses and our struggles, and we could be labeled with that long after we're delivered of it, and that's okay. You know, this Simon, even though he was still called Simon the leper, and by the way, this is Matthew, the apostle, writing this. He is you know, just, and this is, again, we're speculating a little bit because we don't know, but he's opening his home to Jesus. And what an honor it is to allow your home to be a place where Jesus can recline. And there's a message in that as well. Is your home, is my home, a house where Jesus can have his place at the table? I hope so. I do. From the bottom of my heart, I hope that what we're doing here on a daily basis draws you closer to Jesus. His word will do that. We just had our what we call Connect meeting at Sound of Heaven, where we get new members come on and they hear a little bit about the vision. And we always go through some like church numbers. And if I remember correctly, let me see if I remember this right, I think only 35% of Christians read the Bible once a week. Well, if you're hanging with us here every day, you are well above the 35%. Dare I say, you are in the 1%, the top 1%. Well, we're not keeping score here. We just love Jesus. Let's continue. So what happens? They're in the house of Simon the leper, and a woman comes to Jesus. By the way, we know who this woman is, okay? We know from the Gospel of John that this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha. And you may remember Mary as the one who sat at his feet while Martha went and did all the housework, and she tried to tattle, Martha did, on Mary, and Jesus said, hey, you know, she's doing the right thing here. She's taking advantage of the opportunity that she has in front of her. And that's what we're going to really study at today. This is another one of those situations. And Mary got it right, okay? So she breaks a flask of perfume. And Jewish women during that time, they would wear flasks of perfume around their neck. And apparently this perfume was very, very costly, and we'll get to that in a second. But it became such a part of what the women wore and carried around, they were actually allowed to wear it on the Sabbath, which there were such strict restrictions on the Sabbath. But it wasn't uncommon for women to carry around perfume, and this obviously was very, very expensive perfume because it says so, but we also can see from the reaction of the disciples. So the woman came to him with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant, I tell you, when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." Okay. All right. So the disciples aren't happy. And actually, if we go in back to the book of John, we see the main culprit here. At least John points it out, right? We see Matthew blame the disciples, which he didn't exclude himself from that. But we see John pointing specifically to Judas as the main culprit here. We know Judas. We know him all too well. He actually held the money for the group, and it said that he was a thief. And I have to imagine that the smell of that oil, with him possibly knowing what he was about to do, was not easy to take in. And we'll get to this in a second, because Jesus rebukes them, and he says, where am I here? "But Jesus was aware of this and said to them, 'Why bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare for my funeral, for my burial, excuse me. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her.'" Well, we are still talking about this today, but let's go ahead and take a look, right? Because Matthew says that all the disciples were in on this, and we don't see anybody really stepping up and taking the woman's side here. And Jesus makes, you know, a statement to the whole room here. But that's what I meant when Jesus says, hey, she was doing this for my burial. She was anointing my head with this oil. And you ever notice that when somebody's not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, they can be very critical of others? And hey, I say somebody, I could say guilty as charged. If I find myself becoming overly critical of what other people are up to, you know, if I'm real with myself, I take a look and say, all right, well, what can I be doing that I'm not doing? Go back to Matthew 5, where Jesus says, what? Take the speck out of, well, hold on. Take the log or the plank out of your own eye before you point out the speck in your brother's eye. This was earlier in Matthew, right? See, we have far less time to criticize others and others' ministry when we're busy with our own calling. So my prayer for all of us today within the sound of my voice is that we get so busy with our own calling, we get so busy being productive in our own lives that we don't have time to point out and pick on other people. But I love this, that she anoints his head with oil. Kings and priests get anointed with oil. And this was true in both respects. He's the King of Kings. He is the ultimate, ultimate high priest. And he's the Messiah. And the word Messiah actually means anointed one. Now, I want to give a shout out to a very, very dear friend and brother of mine. It's Elder Russ at Sound of Heaven Church. If you ever come to Sound of Heaven Church, you will meet Elder Russ, and Elder Russ will anoint you with oil. He carries around oil, and it's one of the highlights of every Sunday for me. And I have this little ritual. He puts it on both of my hands, and I, you know, pat my hands, and I touch the sides of my head like by my ears. And the reason why I do that is because there's a teaching there of why they used to anoint and use oil for the sheep, which I won't get into now because then I'll go over time. And I'm actually making pretty good time here today. But that's part of the fabric of over at Sound of Heaven. And by the way, Elder Russ is one of the he's a great friend to the show and a great encourager. And I just want to just say here publicly that I appreciate that. I don't think here we have, we're reading about the disciples, picking on a woman who's trying to do the right thing. And I think we take for granted sometimes how important it is to encourage and edify one another in each other's walks, right? We are so quick to criticize other people's, you know, works. But that's why we should get so busy with our own calling. We don't do that. But let's make sure that we take the time to encourage other people. Amen? Amen. So let's address this here. With the last few minutes that we have, Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you, but you have me with you today. You will always have the poor with you, but you have me with you today. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Now, Jesus is not saying don't help the poor. I mean, we should have learned that by now, right? We just got out of Matthew chapter 5, and when he talked about what the parable of the sheep and the goats, what? He said the king in that parable said to the good disciples, the sheep, right? You fed me, you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you cared for me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was in prison and you visited me. And what did they say? They said, well, when did we do those things for you? And he said, what you do for the least of these, you did for me. So we honor God by helping the poor. We honor God by reaching out to those who are in need. Jesus, of course, is not saying this. But what Jesus, I believe, is saying is stop trying to hide behind what you could do tomorrow and start focusing on what you could do today. That's another thing we like to do. We like to live on the tropical paradise called someday I'll, right? Someday I'll do this in ministry. Someday I'll do that. But we miss the opportunity that's right in front of us. And that's exactly what Judas and the disciples are doing. They're hiding behind what could be done with the money, hypothetically, tomorrow, and they're missing what's right in front of them. Jesus is right in front of them. And they're a few days away from his body being battered and bruised. And here this woman, with a beautiful act of kindness, is anointing him, preparing his body for what he's about to go through. And that's really what I want to just kind of hang on. They give her a hard time, but I got to be honest with you. Almost every single person who has done something great for God has at one point been called an eccentric or a fanatic in some way. You and I will be no different if we want to step out. Look, you want to get where people don't normally go, you got to do things that people don't normally do. You're going to be taken as somewhat of a peculiar person, a fanatic. I don't know about you. That's a price I'm willing to pay if it means doing something for God. So that's my prayer for you today as we close, right? We can talk all day about what we're going to do tomorrow. But what is the opportunity that God has in front of you to honor him today? To honor him today. So we're not stuck on someday aisle, right? You're going to have so many opportunities today to do even little things. Even little things. And we talk about this a lot. And I would say, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. The world needs a church that is aware of today, that's not worried and concerned about tomorrow or struggling with the past, but one that wants to seize the day for his glory. Mary here seized the day for his glory, saw that opportunity, and broke that alabaster vial and poured it on his head and honored him before all people. What can you do today to honor him? You may not have an alabaster vial or jar around your neck, but you can go help someone today. You can forgive someone today. You can fill in the blank. I could name a million different things that are possible, but just allow yourself to be ready, to bless him and honor him. Let's be less critical of one another. Look, I see things in the church sometimes and I shake my head, but that just makes me want to get to my calling more. The world needs more do men and women, not watchmen, right? Somebody of us want to be watchmen and watch everybody else and criticize. No. We're doers. We honor God with what we have today. Stand in agreement with me on that. Say, Father God, today I will seize the opportunity to honor you with what I have. Because what I have, you gave to me. So I want to honor you with that very thing. Help me be your hands extended. Say that to God. Say, God, help me be your hands extended to this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. This is the 1% Christian. 100 starts with one. You did it. Now go out and do something amazing with the remaining 99. Do something awesome for Christ's sake. I love you guys. Have an awesome day. We're going to continue with Matthew chapter 26 tomorrow.